Hello and welcome to Lawcast. Today I'm joined by Kevin Sullivan, a partner and head of the dispute resolution team at Burkitt Long. And today we're going to be speaking about insolvency. So Kevin, tell us about how the disqualification process starts.
The director's disqualification process starts when a company goes into liquidation or administration. It's at that point that the insolvency practitioner who is appointed to deal with the failed business has a statutory duty to investigate the company's affairs as well as the conduct of its directors.
And what sort of misconduct rings alarm bells?
Usually we're looking at things like non-payment of Crown debts, concealing assets, maybe some unexplained deficiency in the accounts, but also things like transactions personally benefiting the directors, overvaluing of assets, dishonor checks, that sort of thing, all the way down to things like transactions at an undervalue, wrongful, fraudulent trading, that sort of thing.
So Kevin, tell us a little bit more about how the investigations are conducted.
Well, within 6 months of the company's demise, the insolvency practitioner is obliged to submit their findings to the Secretary of State. Now, where misconduct has been identified, this triggers further investigations, which could in turn lead to proceedings under the Company Directors Disqualification Act of 1986. This legislation is a very important act that came into force at the same time as the Insolvency Act of 1986. And under that legislation, a person can be disqualified from acting as a director of a company or in any way, directly or indirectly, being concerned or taking part in the promotion, formation or management of a company, unless you have the court's permission, that is. And the ban can be from anywhere between 2 and 15 years, so it's fairly serious.
Is there an alternative way of resolving the dispute without going to court?
Yes, absolutely. It is possible to avoid lengthy and costly court proceedings by the director offering what's called an undertaking, by which they promise not to be a director of a limited company for an agreed period. This actually has the same legal effect as a disqualification order, and it's usually accompanied by a schedule which identifies the unfit conduct, and then those details are then typically published on the Insolvency Services website, and perhaps in more severe cases, serious matters, they can attract media attention.
And what about some of the consequences of breaching a disqualification order or undertaking?
The consequences of breaching a disqualification order or an undertaking are exactly the same, in fact. A fine, an imprisonment for up to 2 years, or indeed both. There may also be personal liability for a company's debts where the director has continued to act whilst disqualified.
And do the effects go any wider?
I would certainly say they do, because aside from the potentially detrimental effect on the individual's health, an adverse costs order could be made if the proceedings are unsuccessfully defended, and this could in turn, I suppose, lead to personal bankruptcy. So it's fairly serious, not just for the director but also for their family. And you can appreciate that the individual may have set up a new venture since the insolvency of their company in question, in which case there's bound to be some employees who then could be at risk of losing their job. So as I say, it's quite a serious procedure for the individual concerned.
Are there any current trends in disqualification proceedings?
Well, according to the latest published statistics, during the years 2011 to 2012, the Insolvency Service secured just over 1,100 disqualification orders and undertakings against directors of failed companies, with an average disqualification period of about 6 years. That's actually slightly down on the previous period, 2010-2011, when there were 1,400 orders and undertakings. But this is the key point. The industry's trade body, known as R3, they're currently lobbying the government for increased resources to facilitate greater number of investigations. And therefore, I think we're going to see the number of disqualifications rising over the coming years.
So, Kevin, do you have much experience in this area?
I'm pleased to say that I do. I've considerable experience and expertise in acting for directors facing these sorts of proceedings. I've acted in a number of cases now where they've actually collapsed before trial, with the director receiving a substantial contribution towards their costs. So I've been quite lucky so far.
And how can people get into contact with you?
The best way would be through the website itself, or by telephone. The switchboard number is Colchester, so that's 01206 217 300. What I would say is that if you do find yourself facing these disqualification proceedings, we may be able to help you, and as is often the way, the sooner you seek our advice, the better.
Thank you very much, Kevin.